Glory be to God the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's good to be here. I'm a wandering minister. I can't stay in a pulpit. I can't hardly even stand at a lectern or behind a communion table. And if I'm a distraction, forgive me. I'm trying not to be. I'm trying to hide behind Jesus. And there are many things in the world that would distract us. But to stay focused on Christ is the goal of every Christian. But let's be honest. How many times have you tried to count the panes in the window? Or how many lights are in? Or how many lights are working? We all do it, don't we? We all get distracted. How many times do we think, did I unplug the iron? Sorry if that's caused any anxiety here. But how many times have you run out wondering, did I unplug it? You know, we're real people in a fallen world. And we are charged to make the best of what we have in Christ's name. To try and make it better. It was part of God's creation within us to actually bring order. But the problem is, it's chaos. Or am I the only one that's experiencing that in my life? Some days are chaotic. How is it sometimes you can get up, put the toast on, make the coffee, and have your shirt ironed all at the same time and it just flows? And the coffee's great and the toast isn't burnt. But some mornings you forget to get the sequence right. Am I the only one that does that? And the toast burns and the coffee's rotten and got bits floating in it, you know? And you don't have time to iron the shirt, so you pull a jumper on, just keep the collar. Yeah? We all do those things. We live in a real world. And we fail sometimes. And sometimes in our failings, we beat ourselves up. Well, I want to tell you, God never beats you up. God only encourages you. I noticed, though, one thing about this. We only get, well done, thou good and faithful servant, at the end. You don't get it at the beginning. You don't get it through it. You get it, the Bible says, at the end. Jesus wasn't known for saying, hey, that was a good thing, well done, lad. He didn't say that to the disciples. Have you ever read it anywhere in the Bible? Did he ever give them a high five or a bump? You know, the way these lads, can you imagine Jesus? He didn't do that. Why? Well, we're servants. We're servants. Christ said he came to serve, not to be served. And we also, if we are to be great in the kingdom of God, he tells us, be a servant of all. King Charles III, at the start of his coronation, says the words to a child, I've come, not to be served, but to serve. Time will tell, just as time will tell for you and me. And at the end, hopefully, King Charles III will actually hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He will hear these words of praise, good lad. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? I'm sure that could keep him going in the darkest and most difficult of times. It was a happy family that Jesus came to. By the way, the distraction wasn't men. Mary and Martha had rejoiced because Jesus, in chapter 11, had done some marvelous things, and especially in raising their brother Lazarus from the dead. They were a joyful family. And then later in chapter 12, Mary anoints Jesus for his burial, he says. There was a very sober point about it. It was somber in some ways, but it was sacred too. And she was delighted to be able to serve. This was a happy family. It was a family that lived in Bethany, not too far away from Jerusalem, where Jesus, we're told, was going to die. And he told his disciples this, and his disciples didn't want to ask. Now, how many times have you wanted to ask a question, but you were fearful of the answer? So you deliberately get distracted. Busy, busy, work, work, bang, bang. You've all done it. Rather than deal with the real issue, ask the hard question, we look to the distraction. So distractions sometimes are a means by which we can prevent ourselves facing truth. This family were dear to Jesus. We're told Jesus wept over Lazarus. Martha was only too happy to be involved in ministering to Jesus. We're told that Jesus comes to her house, not Mary's, and not Lazarus's. And that's a bit unusual because property was always in the name of the male. It would have been expected that Jesus came to Lazarus's house. But it doesn't say that. It says Martha's house, which clearly implies Martha is in charge and is basically caught up, distracted, we're told, in verse 40, with many tasks. I used to work as a student, as a chef. I never rose to the dizzy heights of exec chef. I chopped vegetables, you know. I kept my fingers, but I remember the chef gave very clear instructions how the vegetables were to be prepped. And at the end of the day, you didn't want to see another mushroom or carrot or whatever. This was in the days before they were all pre-packed and you got them delivered from some other place. You did it all on site early morning. But I do remember we had a special order come in. And this was way back in 19... a long time ago, okay? Just round about the time cling film was being introduced. Okay? That'll give you an idea how long ago we're talking. And the chef had a special order, and the order was for steak to be cooked for the Rotarians, who were having a special meal that night, recruiting new Rotarians, hopefully. And all the steaks had to be made just so, and they would be cooked on further if someone wanted it done more to their liking. There were a few left aside. For some people, it take what's called a blue steak. You just slap it on and put it on the plate, basically. But the steaks were all to be wrapped in cling film. 46 steaks. 46, because everyone had put their order in ahead of time, so we knew how many steaks were to be cooked. Guess who had to wrap the steaks? Have you ever tried wrapping hot, slippy meat with cling film? More's the point. Have you ever tried unwrapping hot, sticky, slippy meat? Guess how many fell on the floor? Too many, I can tell you. Yeah. But we got the job done, but it was difficult. I was distracted. I was distracted by the question, and it made me late. The question was, I'd never used cling film. How many times do you wrap a steak? No one knew. The chef had never used it. I went to the chef and asked him. The exec chef was somewhere else, busy. I said, how many times do you turn the stuff around? And he says, well, maybe twice. Oh, he said, do it three times for good measure. And I wrapped these steaks round three times to hold them tight. But the problem was, when it's wrapped three times, I know this seems very trivial, but that's the nature of a distraction. That's the nature of a problem. And it's often of your own making. And this was one of my making. And I could not get some of those steaks unwrapped. In the end, we had to cut them. And I did that. And I made the biggest mistake of my life because I didn't know you don't cut steak to cook it. You keep it clean. And I'd spoiled quite a few of them. So after I had a call in by the executive chef, he said to me, Jim, we're a bit disappointed in your gifts and talents and think it might be time you should go. And that was the end of my catering career. Yeah, I was delighted though. I saved my fingers. Martha was probably in a kitchen bashing away. If it was blue elastoplast, she would have had it all round her fingers probably at that day as she was grating the cheese and looking over her shoulder and seeing Jesus sat with Mary at his feet. She'd have been fizzing. And it wasn't her fault if the dinner was going to be late, or if she'd burnt the steak or whatever they were eating, or if the carrots weren't chopped to the way they should be chopped, or whatever the food was they were eating. It was Jesus's fault. That's what she says. Lord, don't you care? It's your fault. The dinner's going to burn. And how often do we blame God? And you might think this is an exaggeration, but I've met in my pastoral ministry many people who blame God for their pain. And they usually word it slightly differently. They usually say things like, if God is a God of love, this wouldn't have happened. You've probably heard that too. Yeah? What's God playing at? Why isn't God encouraging me in ways that I like to be encouraged? Why isn't he giving me the high five? You know, why do I need to wait to the end to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Well, I think the real reason for that is we'd have to widen these doors to let you out because your ears would catch on the doorposts. And that's the truth. We become so full of ourselves that instead of looking to Jesus, we'd want people to look at us. And God knows our weakness and the weakness of the human heart. So we have to be humble. We have to be contrite. We have to be holy. We have to be focused. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen, and it will not be taken from her, sitting at his feet. He wasn't going to get to see her again. Not in that body, because he was going on to Jerusalem. And there he had told his disciples he would be crucified. These were precious moments, moments that would strengthen Mary and Martha because they were going to be at the cross. They were going to be there. They were going to see the witness of the person they loved dying. So these were precious times. And sometimes the distractions that can so easily take us away from sitting at the feet of the Lord can rob us of the precious times that give us strength for the tough times. And that's the truth. And that's why it's so important as Christian people that we learn daily to sit at the feet of the Lord, who meets our every need. Previously, in Luke 10, Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan comes and cares for the person that he finds on the road, the Jew that the religious authorities step over or walk on the other side in case they become defiled. Yesterday, or day before rather, I was speaking with a man whose mum had died, and he said to me, at the very outset, I'm doing this to honor her memory. She was 93. I said, that's wonderful. He said, I'm not religious. And I instantly retorted, neither am I. And he was taken aback. He didn't know what he said. I said, I'm not religious, not in the least. And I'm not. Because I don't believe religion is a very helpful thing today. Religion is a fearful thing, creates a lot of fear. And a lot of misdirection and a lot of distraction. No, I'm a person of faith, and there's a subtle difference. My faith is in Christ, my Savior and my Lord, in whom I trusted, in whom I looked to. And I trust in his words, and that doesn't make me religious. It just makes me have a relationship with him. And my relationship with him gives me a relationship with the church. One faith, one Lord, one church. All over the world, I wear this thing here to remind me that the church also is facing persecution throughout the world. There are people who are constantly under threat, who have to be focused on Christ to go the mile ahead. And we are the same. It's easy to be distracted. When Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan and how the Good Samaritan met every need, he, in effect, was speaking of himself as well, because he is our Good Samaritan. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen it, and that's to sit at his feet. I would encourage you to sit at his feet. Here is a well-known sign to some of you. I've never seen that sign until yesterday. The grassy beach. There's hardly any grass, by the way, on the beach, but it's called the grassy beach. It's at Broughty Ferry. And I went walking and managed to get all sunburned because I didn't realize how hot it was. And we're walking along from Dundee to Broughty, a friend of mine, a senior guy. And because he's so senior, bless him, he has to take a seat every now and again. And thankfully, there are lots and lots of benches going along there. And we sat down on one of those benches, and the words there, can you make them out? Larry Corner, for my beloved husband, Larry Corner, 1960 to 2009, until we meet again, I will sit a while with you. 381. 381. I thought, 381? Have you ever come across that? Anybody know what 381 is? No? No? Oh, that's good. I wasn't the only one. There's not one here knows what 381 is, a cyber term, which means I love you. I didn't know that. Three, because of the number of words, I love you. Eight, the number of letters, and one, the person to whom it's addressed. That's good, isn't it? I will sit a while with you. I thought, there's confirmation for what I'm preaching at the steeple tomorrow. God wants us to sit a while with him because he loves us more than we love him. And he wants to enjoy your company. He wants to bless you. He wants to face the day. He wants to set you up. And I pray that, as I was saying to the boys and girls, it's so easy to think of all the things that you've got to do in the day, the agenda and the big tick list, to get so focused on that you forget about God. And it's one of the challenges we have as church. We can be so busy about this business of adjustment that we can forget the Holy Spirit, we can forget prayer, we can forget about the business that we are in, which is to make Jesus known, to make disciples who will make a difference. But Mary didn't forget. As you know, as church, we can be so busy banging the pots and pans and making all the things. But does it really count if we really miss out what we should be doing, which is sitting at his feet, which is listening to his counsel, which is learning what to do, what he would have us do? We are called to be salt and light, to make a difference in this world. And that's just not simply in worship like this, but it's going out into that world, where you work, where you live, and not being distracted by these things as you become a witness for Jesus, for the Lord. I pray God will encourage you in these things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word, for its relevance to us today, and for the blessing that it brings to our life. Help us, Lord, to trust and to look to you in all things, we pray. In Jesus' name.